You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that at times we feel unknown and misunderstood. But we know that you too were not known and misunderstood. But you give us a way to get to know you. You promise to be with us every day of our lives, especially when we seek to tell others about you. So help us to listen and to learn, to not be alone. Amen. I like to mountain bike. And there was a route near my childhood home in Sedona, Arizona. And this route went around a mountain called Pyramid Rock. And there was one section of this route that was particularly difficult that I was working on. If you don't know mountain bikers, the challenge that they try to do is to get so good at a trail that they never have to take a foot off a pedal. So I was working on a section, trying to master that section. And as I went down, it was very steep, and then there was a sudden rise. I went down and I lost focus. My tire went off the trail. I hit a downed tree, and I flew over the handlebars. Flying through the air, that was okay. But hitting the ground, that was painful, very painful. I fell directly into a prickly pear cactus. Now, the thing about falling into a prickly pear cactus is it's kind of surreal, because the cactus itself is soft. The leaves are gentle. They flap over kind of easily, and they're soft to the touch. But the thing is, they're covered by sharp, pointy spines. And the sensation of the plant just sort of giving way gently, all the while piercing me, was very bizarre. But you know, that wasn't even the painful part. The painful part was hitting the ground. The ground was way less forgiving. That red dirt and rock, little pebbles, all of it, I could feel every detail against my face, my chest, my arms, my leg. If you've ever fallen off of a bike, you know that feeling. Pavement is actually potentially worse, the amount of road rash you can get. Well, I passed out for a moment, and when I came to, I remember lying in the shade of a pinyon pine tree, looking up, and the sky was gorgeous. It was beautiful, deep cobalt blue with the yellow sun. In my mouth, I tasted dirt and blood. I was throttled, and I got up with my bike and was in no shape to ride, and so I walked home about a mile. When I got home, I put my bike in the garage, went in the house, and feebly kind of yelled out, "Mom, Mom." My mom came, and I'll never forget her face. When she looked at me, her eyes got big, and she yelled, "Wes, what happened?" And then she helped me wash up. My dad did too. And I remember his face looking worried and a little angry. The good news is that there was no broken bones, no need for stitches, no trip to an emergency room, just a lot of pain. The night was long, I didn't sleep a whole lot, and the next day I woke up and it was time to go to school. So I went to school, and all over I was black and blue. When people saw me, they would wince in pain. My friends, people that, you know, I spent time with. And they were like, "Ooh, what's wrong with you?" And I felt kind of alone. People didn't really want to hang out with me. And I was looking forward to seeing one teacher in particular, my art teacher, who was an avid mountain biker. And I thought at least from him, I'd get something like a, "Wow, dude, that's so cool. You're going to have some cool scars." But no, when he saw me, the same expression. "Ooh," didn't even want to look at me. "Ooh, what happened to you?" Not even really wanting to hear it, just kind of like, "Ew." And so all week, that's just kind of how I felt. I was the loner. I looked terrible, swollen, black and blue, all over. I wonder if you have ever felt that way. I wonder if people have ever looked at you and for whatever reason didn't want to spend time with you or get to know you or maybe just generally misunderstood who you are. I think there's a lot of that going on right now in our world. As I look on social media and see posts from different friends, I hear a lot of frustration of people feeling misunderstood, people feeling as though no one understands what their background is and what it's like to be them. And I believe it's a feeling that we all share at times. Some of us in our world feel it more than others. Well, the good news is, if you've ever felt this way, you're not alone. Jesus also felt unknown and misunderstood. In fact, when he died on the cross, he was rejected by most people. And he was misunderstood. He was seen to be a threat, when really that wasn't the case at all. But that's not how the story ends. There's good news for us today. Even though at the time that Jesus died, he was unknown and is still unknown to many, we can get to know Jesus. And furthermore, he promises to be with us. In our gospel this morning from St. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's the promise. I am with you always. You are not alone. But there's a twist. How do we get to experience Jesus' presence with us in our lives every day? Well, he says that he promises to be with us in this great commission. In these final verses of Matthew, Jesus is saying, "Go out and evangelize. Tell people about me. Teach them." When we do that, we get to know Jesus, which begs the question, Where exactly are we seeing Jesus when we go evangelize? And if you think about it for a moment, the answer is obvious, but a little counterintuitive. Think about it for a second. For example, you go out, you meet someone who you don't know. They may not know Jesus. Jesus promises to be with you. So where's Jesus? He is in the person you don't know. When we go evangelize and we share our faith with somebody, we are to see Jesus in that person. It's kind of a paradox. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to meet Jesus, you've got to hang out with people who don't know Jesus. That's the promise. He says it right there. Go make disciples, and I will be with you always until the end of the age. What a profound and awesome promise that Jesus would be exactly, paradoxically, in the person who doesn't know him. The person that we don't know and the person we don't understand. That is what Holy Trinity Sunday is all about. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. They are unique persons in one God. And therefore, when you meet someone that you don't know, don't understand, frustrates you, that is exactly the person who is not you where you can meet Christ. That's good news for our world today, where there are divisions, where there is conflict, when there is no lack of opportunity to interact with someone you might disagree with. Pausing and listening to them could be the best way to get to know Christ. Well, that week in high school, when I had a mountain biking accident, I was black and blue all over. No one wanted to hang out with me. It wasn't cool. By the end of the week, I was looking forward to the weekend. Finally, I could stay home and have some peace and quiet. And then I realized I had an obligation that Saturday morning. You see, there was this little indiscretion I had made regarding speeding a couple of weeks back after I had gotten out of a late showing from the movie theater, the one movie theater in our town. And yeah, I got a speeding ticket when I was 16. And instead of getting points against my license and having the insurance go up, I did the smart thing. I signed up for traffic school, and that's what I had to do that Saturday. So much for a day of relaxing at home. I went to the Super 8 Motel, and in the ballroom that had been rented out by this organization to give traffic school, there I sat. Maybe it would be different than high school. Wrong. People looked at me and, they avoided me like the plague. And I was definitely the youngest person in there. Everyone else with their citations and their violations. And we did the class. It drug on, but you know, I definitely learned something. It was good. And by the end of the day, it was time to go home, and everyone, you know, dispersed. They were ready to get out of there. And as I was walking to my car, I heard a voice from this guy that was in the class. He was kind of loud. Shall I say, during the class. And he said, I heard him shout. He goes, "Hey, buddy, did you win?" And I didn't know if he was, you know, talking to me, so I kept walking. He goes, "Hey, I'm talking to you. Did you win?" And I was like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" And he said to me, "Man, because you look terrible. So please tell me that the other guy looks worse than you." And I realized, oh, he thought I got in a fight. And I was like, no, I didn't get in a fight. I fell off my bike. And he went, "Oh, you got that falling off a bike? How'd you do that?" And I said, well, I was mountain biking, you know, the Pyramid Rock Trail, and it was a steep section, and I fell off. And he said, well, why would you take a perfectly good bicycle down a mountain? That seems ridiculous. And I explained to him, you know, why I like mountain biking. And after a while of trying to explain to this guy how I had been injured, it was the first time that whole week that I felt a little alleviated, like I could breathe, like someone cared enough to listen. Besides, of course, my parents, who had carefully washed and cleaned me in my moment of need. This was the first stranger, outsider, non-family member who took time to really show an interest in me. And it was clear from the way he spoke that he was not a country guy. He had moved to Sedona from the city, and he didn't know anything about mountain biking or anything. He really didn't understand me, but he was interested. And through asking questions and getting to know me, I felt better. When you take time to get to know someone who's different than you, who you don't understand, you make Christ known. When you're feeling like you aren't appreciated, when you take time to get to know someone who's different than you, you make Christ known. People you don't agree with for whatever reason, getting to know them and listening, you make Christ known. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. And if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.